Good morning, happy Pentecost. Happy Pentecost. Can you just turn around to someone else and just say happy Pentecost? This is exciting. This is a good day. This is a celebration. Oh, Alison's like, we've done that, Beth. Oh no, I do apologise. Where we run over from St George's. Well, I think we can do it again, so I think that's good. Do it twice. Okay. First things first, I would love every single person in here to have a Bible open in front of them or some kind of form of Bible, whichever you might like to read. I would like you to have it. I know we've just done page 12, but I'd love it if you could also open, or mainly open, page 1093, because we're going to also look at the whole of Acts chapter 2 today. Okay. Oh, thank you, Lucy. You've got an excited yes already. Because we are looking together, unitedly looking, at unity this morning. So we're going to be starting off looking at Babel and the Tower of Babel. What does that mean? And then looking forward at Acts. And what does that mean? What are the different ways that unity is shown in both of these places? Now, I don't know about you, but I find this is one of those passages that I read the first time and I write down in my journaling Bible what my initial thoughts are. And then I go read some commentaries or go look into it or pray about it. And then I have a completely different understanding of what it was the first time I read it. So for me, when I looked at this passage, I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, who here would love if we all across the whole world spoke the same language? Oh my word, that would be great. How brilliant would that be? So I look at this passage and I think, why on earth would that be something God would want to stop? He must have a reason, but why is it something that he wants to stop? And if we think back to just a little bit earlier, if we think of the story of Noah's Ark and the covenant that God made with his people, actually the promise that went two ways, they looked then at the fact that God wanted them to multiply over the earth and to scatter, to diversify, to go in different places, to fill the earth, to subdue it, to have dominion over it, which means to look after it, to be responsible for it. So actually, when we just look at that tiny bit, that's quite different, the plan God wants for them, to what they want. And you might want to look at it again in your Bibles, page 12, but what they want is to make a name for themselves. They want fame. They want people down there looking up at them up here. And that's not God's kingdom, is it? God's kingdom is everyone equal, united, together. Not these different hierarchies created. So actually, this Tower of Babel looks so innocent and lovely. But actually, they're not wanting to do what God has commanded them to spread out. And they're actually wanting to start making these very slight shifts and changes in society where they're looked at, they're appreciated, they're thought of as amazing people that have built this by themselves without God. So that's a little bit of where we're at. And because of that, God scatters them. So he gets them to do what he wants to do in the end. He scatters their language and they do scatter and they go off into lots of different places. And then we get the rest of the Bible kind of working through that. But we come forward. We have loads of these different stories in the Bible, all with different languages forming. And we come forward to Pentecost. Now, this was a festival that was already a thing. So everyone was kind of already met together. They'd traveled, pilgrimaged for ages to come together for this festival of Pentecost. And I'd love it if you can have a look at your Bibles to have a little skim over what you see in Acts 2. This whole chapter is incredible. Now, we know from our Gospels that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He told people that there was going to be an advocate coming. Advocate means someone who kind of sticks up for you, talks for you, speaks for you. We might not all feel like we've got that in our lives. We might have had times when we feel like people didn't stick up for us. This is something that Jesus is promising and says is going to come forward for us. And it says in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit comes. said, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. We just had Sunday school at St. George's, and Amanda, who was leading that, made such a good point of actually this can remind us of the burning bush with Moses, that the fire didn't burn up. It was there as a sign of God's presence, of God's power with people. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were completely amazed. How can this be? Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, some other names I really struggle to pronounce, but you can see them in your Bibles. There are all these amazing languages, incredible, diverse, might I say difficult languages. And they could hear them, and they could speak to each other, and they could understand. I think the main thing that I think is just incredible about this is God doesn't reverse what he does at Babel. He does not snap his fingers, and suddenly everyone speaks the same language again, united by the Holy Spirit. Actually, that diversity is kept. That diversity, those differences, are a good thing. They're celebrated, and people are brought together with those together. I would like to ask, and I'm not going to come down and see if I can ask you all something. Can you please raise your hand here if you speak a language other than English, or speak or sign a language other than English? Okay. If I speak, and you can be learning it, don't need to have it all fluent. If you do, if someone else says the language that you can also speak, can you then just pop your hand down for me? Okay, so I'm going to come over to Alison first. Can you tell us the language that you speak?
Cymraeg Welsh.
Okay, how do I pronounce it? Cymraeg Welsh. Say it again for us.
Cymraeg.
Oh, okay, so we've got Welsh, we've got one. Okay.
Spanish.
We've got Welsh, Spanish.
Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch.
German?
Yeah, Deutsch and German.
German, okay. Fab. Oh, same as James. Have we got any others? Yeah.
Ich spreche auch ein bisschen Deutsch.
Oh, German as well. Yeah, amazing.
Bit rusty, but French and Macaton.
Oh, okay. French. Oh, I'm running out of fingers. Six. Can someone else keep up for me? Anybody else? Dun, dun, dun. Oh, we're getting all the way to the back today. That's fun.
I speak Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa.
So that's three.
Yes, Nigerian languages. They are Nigerian languages.
Amazing. Oh, amazing.
French.
French. Amazing. Okay, we've got up to 11.
I'm learning Creole.
Oh, my goodness.
Manera Bota.
How are you?
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so even just in this room, we've got lots and lots of different languages. That's amazing. I wonder, actually, at the cathedral, they do some beautiful international services, and you all at one point say the Lord's Prayer together in all those different languages, which I think would be lovely if we could do at some point. Maybe even we can fit that in today. So we've got lots and lots of different languages in this room. I think I counted 12. I might be wrong, but isn't that incredible if we could all speak in those different languages and completely understand the different things that we were saying to each other? So, everyone's speaking these different languages. The Holy Spirit's come upon people. They're doing these incredible things. Oh, see, pregnancy, 7 months. I'm literally out of breath from going down that aisle once. Oh. So, everyone's doing these kind of incredible things and they're amazed, but there are some people on the outside looking in, and what's their thoughts? What churchgoers know? Oh, these churchgoers, oh, they've all had too much wine. They've all had too much wine, they've got a bit silly. What are they doing? They're meeting up to come and worship their God, and they've all had too much wine. That's their thoughts. They're thinking of something logical that can explain this completely illogical thing that's happened. Because it is completely illogical. Why would people suddenly be able to share and speak in all these different languages? And Peter is incredible. If you look at the rest of Acts 2, so it says Peter preaches to the crowd. That whole next chunk is this amazing account that he gives for what has happened here today. Peter explains the promise of the Holy Spirit. And first, he goes back to a little bit of logic. And he says, well, they're not drunk because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So, Peter goes through this amazing, incredible story. He goes back to different parts of Scripture, to different parts of the Bible, and he says, listen carefully. These people aren't drunk. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. This was prophecies given over 800 years earlier. It says, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So this is before Jesus tells of this promise of the Holy Spirit. We see this predicted long ago. This has always been in God's plan, this idea for people back together. And it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter then goes through sharing words of David, sharing how prophecies and things that David shared weren't about him, but were again about Jesus coming forward, giving this trust and understanding and belief and excitement for the Holy Spirit. And we have this amazing question from people. And I think we're looking at unity today. I think this is a great question of unity. They look at the apostles because Peter's words have pierced their hearts. And they look at Peter and the apostles and they say, brothers, brothers, what should we do? How much humbleness and understanding and unity is in that sentence, brothers. We are equal with you, we are kin, but we are understanding that there's something you know that we might want to learn. That's a beautiful picture for us together in the church. What can we be asking of each other, helping each other grow in faith? And Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off. This is for everyone. For all whom the Lord our God will call. He then says this. He says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It says he strongly urged this to his listeners. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Can you imagine if we had 3,000 people baptized here this morning? I think we'd have to go down to the sea for everyone in. But what a wonderful celebration that must have been. To be part of this incredible thing of seeing, visibly seeing the Holy Spirit resting on people, knowing that these promises have come to fruition and you were seeing that out in people. It's an incredible promise of God's coming true. And how do they react? We see this cycle and cycle and cycle and cycle a lot in the Old Testament of people coming to God and then falling away again. And then generations pass, they fall away again. And we repeat this cycle of sadness and damage and not listening to God and then falling back to him again. And their reaction is to really throw themselves into the teaching. And I wonder if we can see much more of a projection of growth in the New Testament after the Holy Spirit sustaining and equipping us. Because it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I might be wrong, but I don't think that means they all thought the same thing, had the same views. Because again, we've got that beautiful diversity in the languages. But I think it means they were united together by what they believed about Jesus. They were filled with awe. Are we filled with awe? Do we devote ourselves to teaching and to being together, to praying together, to eating together? Because the outcome is this, and it's incredible. And this is kind of what we're talking about for our giving day today and what we're talking about with combining the churches. Because it said they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That means there were also people willing to receive the need. So maybe you're someone who's really good at giving to others and you're not so good at accepting help for yourself. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So again, we don't think there's lots of church maintenance in the Bible, but someone was obviously making sure these temple courts were still well and standing up. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, there's something really beautiful in there about they continued to meet together in their temple courts, together, big groups like this. But then they broke bread together in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Where are we doing the gathered community and the dispersed community? Where are we going out to reach people that don't know Jesus? And where are we kind of tucking in at home and talking with others and having that beautiful intimacy with other people that believe in Jesus Christ? Because we can fit all of these into our faith and into our lives. Now, the Tower of Babel, I hope you can see a different side to this. Yes, they were united. Yes, they had one language. But actually, they weren't united for God. What they wanted was completely against what God was wanting them to be united for. He was wanting for them to disperse, to build communities, to build diversity. And that wasn't what they were doing. But when we see this amazing thing in Pentecost, happening at a Pentecost festival, they're actually united in their diversity by God. And again, it wasn't undone. It was about what they had been brought to together. There's a saying that I love, and a lot of you have probably heard of it, but it's, if you have abundance, if you've got enough, build a bigger table and not a higher fence. So if you've got more than you need, spread out, include more people, invite more people to join you. Don't build fences to keep people out. And I think that's quite a good saying for thinking about this Tower of Babel. They were wanting to build up to show everyone that they were powerful. And God wanted to spread that table out. And we're then invited to the Lord's table to remember that part of us with Jesus. So it's a really powerful thing, unity. Humans, we can get a bit negative, do some terrible things sometimes when we unite. We can have a mob mentality. We can see this with riots happening in the country that have happened recently. We can go into a frenzy of what others are doing it, and we can join in that too. So we know that unity and that kind of mentality aren't always a good thing. So actually, we need to be uniting with God for his purpose for us, for love, not to keep people out, not to be against others, but to unite together in that love and that just building of the table and building of the family that he wants to open for all of us. So, what does this look like with our church? They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We don't often like talking about money at church. But actually, financial gifts are really important. They're how we keep the church running. They're how we support and equip others. They're how we give money to amazing overseas charities and charities that are on our front doorstep. They're how we make sure sacred spaces are kept available. There's some really interesting things going on at cathedrals all up and down the country, trying to raise funds to keep these beautiful buildings open. And it's always really interesting to see what kind of things are going on and how people react and respond to these different things. I don't know where I land with that, but it's always really interesting. So are we doing this together? If you're going around someone's house for food, you'd quite happily turn up with a bottle of lemonade or something. So how are we doing that with church? What are our attitudes to church? And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Are you sharing life with others? Are you welcoming? Are you reaching out to people, drawing people in, eating with others, celebrating with others? So, let's pray as we finish. And let's really have our mind on unity. How can we grow with unity together, celebrating each other and what God has done this Pentecost day? Let's just have a moment of quiet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit that unites us beyond language, race, background, culture. Forgive us when we allow division and pride to break our fellowship, when we hide behind protection or wanting to build those walls up instead of seeking out your kingdom. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit today and every day, that we may stand strong in spiritual warfare, confident in the victory you have secured through Jesus Christ. Empower us to be builders of unity, carriers of your love, and witnesses to your salvation. Help us to celebrate diversity as a divine blessing and to overcome the divisions caused by fear and prejudice. And I want us all now to imagine a dining table. I didn't grow up with a dining table in the house. Our front room was very little and cute. But either imagine a dining table that you've got in your home, or a dining table of a friend's or a family's, maybe a favorite restaurant. Imagine that table in your mind. Father, we pray, help us build bigger tables, to not turn our noses at whoever turns up to eat with us, to welcome and celebrate people in your name, to be united, even in the things that we disagree about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.